it's very important for employers to truly understand that alignment between what a job seeker is looking for and what the employer is looking for so that you have that most appropriate match.
Welcome to the Destination Northern Ontario podcast. This is a series for tourism business operators here in the rugged and beautiful north. Whether you're just starting out or you've got years under your belt, this podcast will make sure you're well equipped for the journey. I'm your host, Michelle Sampson. If you're an employer in the North's tourism sector, you know how hard it can be to find workers. The good news is that you don't have to tackle this challenge alone. There are organizations that want to help you hire, train, and retain good employees. For this episode, we've assembled a panel of three leaders from three of those organizations to talk about the state of the tourism workforce in Northern Ontario. The panel includes Laurie Marcil of Nature and Outdoor Tourism Ontario, Chantal Makela of Spark Employment, and Karen Peacock of Tourism Excellence North. We cover the common challenges everyone is facing, what tourism workers are looking for, and the creative ways some employers are stepping up. By the end of this episode, you'll be equipped to step up your recruitment efforts too. Thank you so much to all three of you for being here. I'd like to start with getting a big picture of the state of the tourism workforce in Northern Ontario right now. Karen, can you kick us off and give us a bit of a lay of the land?
Sure. Thank you very much, Michelle. And just thinking about Northern Ontario and tourism specifically, prior to COVID, prior to the pandemic that we all went through, there was a real trend in which we saw the labor force just wasn't enough to meet a growing demand. With the onset of COVID, you know, we saw many of our businesses shuttered for the term of COVID, and some employees left the tourism sector altogether because they didn't feel it was safe enough as an ongoing career prospect for them to be part of. Mm. And so we saw, you know, a number of people leave the industry at that time. And where we are finding ourselves now is, yes, things have picked back up in terms of tourism, but where we still see a lag behind is skilled staff. So there's a few challenges that we're still seeing. It's the recruitment of staff within the tourism industry, as well as the recruitment of skilled staff. And there's a number of things going on there. And what we've tried to do in the past is to try and assist and support the development of those skills through training, as well through helping employers recruit additional staff. So I think big picture is we're shaping up for a really great season in tourism, and we still want to grow the sector in regard to business growth, but also in regard to seeing employees wanting to launch their career in tourism and stay within tourism. Laurie, maybe I'll turn it over to you and see what if you have any thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. Absolutely. I mean, the pandemic was a very difficult time. However, out of that, we were able to do some really great things together to support the tourism industry with the Tourism Skills Net North program. And I think one of the things that really hit for me, I've been around the industry for a long time, and training was always something that employers seemed to snicker at. It was too much work, too much money, too much work. But what we saw with the development of the TSNN program, our Tourism Skills Net North program, we saw that operators were beginning to really appreciate what the training did for them. And so I think that's a wonderful thing, that if anything wonderful could come out of a pandemic, there's something. And I love the new open mind towards the training. And I love how the industry understands now how it's an absolute benefit to them in their workforce development. So some of the things that we're seeing now that we were kind of seeing before is that operators, or I mean the tourism business owner, they're beginning to look for staff a lot earlier than they did before. So rather than waiting until January, February, March to start listing their jobs and looking for folks, they're definitely doing that in November and December now. So that is something that we're seeing as a new kind of trend over the last couple of summers. this year was interesting. I was just talking to Kate, who works with me here at Noto, and we do a job board through Indeed. We started that during the TSNN program, and we've continued it. Mind you, Indeed has changed their pricing structure, so it makes it a little bit more challenging for us. But we've noticed that there are less job postings, and we've reached out to some of the operators that always sent us job postings, and they've already found folks, and they've used things like social media. They've used their Instagram and their Facebook pages to talk about their business and do that tourism awareness piece and put out those postings. And I think that's something that we love to see as well. Operators are becoming more creative and having to do those types of things. We still have challenges. We're still hearing of challenges around finding staff and getting them to commit to a full season. So that's something that is, you know, not really sure how we can help with that, but tourism is very seasonal. So we're asking for 4 to 5 months of your time to come and work. And we're hearing more and more from people. That's definitely a challenge for them, is getting people to commit for the entire season. So you can appreciate in the middle of your season, all of a sudden someone saying, okay, I'm done. And you're in the middle of a season, how do you find and recruit new people? The other piece that we have heard from operators is managing expectations is now really top of mind for them because of things like they want to leave partway through the season. They're trying to manage those expectations, like starting in the job posting and going right through to interview and then going right through to training. Like they're carrying that all the way through, making sure that people really understand that this is a very important job that they're doing. It's a very important part of their business, and bringing them right into the fold very early on to make them understand that they're integral to their success for the summer. And housing. Housing has been an issue. A lot of our operators have become very creative and worked with local communities, or they've taken their own assets, their own inventory off the market, like cabins, and have devoted those to staff members. So those are some of the things we heard during Tourism Skills Net North, but some of them are more recent. And even the way that folks are looking for staff, more people doing career fairs, more use of social media, those things are becoming more and more broadly used. So I would say that that's kind of what I've been hearing about employment and workforce over the last couple of months.
Those are all really interesting. I'm curious, Chantel, are these issues common beyond the tourism sector?
Absolutely. I think any owner, operator, employer would probably be sharing very similar information and feedback as what we've heard today. I think it's very important for employers to truly understand their business, what they're looking for. And one of the things that Spark does with employers is try to define that, really narrow it down to what are you really, truly looking for? And being able, as was already said, being able to clearly articulate that in a job posting. And when you meet and connect with folks through the interview process or through job fairs, is really trying to make sure that alignment between what a job seeker is looking for and what the employer is looking for, so that you have that most appropriate match and you have less of those disruptions throughout that employment relationship. The training that's been also identified as a need, absolutely. So again, we highly encourage owners, operators, employers to ensure that they have a robust training curriculum for individuals when they bring them on. As we have all experienced new jobs, you know, we come with a lot of great skills, transferable skills and strengths that we would like to be able to provide our new employer. But they also have a business that we're not familiar with. And they also have processes and policies and procedures that it's important for all of us to be able to take that moment and learn. So I think it's being able to support one another and guide us through those processes and making sure that you're investing in your people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lori, you already mentioned some creative approaches, like some of these operators taking some of their inventory off the market, a cabin, for example, to be used for worker housing. I'd love to give the whole panel an opportunity to speak more to these resourceful ways of dealing with some of these challenges. So is there anything else anybody could share that might inspire some of the operators or stakeholders who are listening? Yeah, Chantel.
I think what's interesting is we've had the experience as a provider to both job seekers and employers. And so an example I can give without giving too much information is we had an employer who was looking for a particular position and had a hard time recruiting for that position. We had job seekers with some skills that they could apply to the role, but not quite what they were looking for. And so one of the things we did that was very creative is we did some job carving. So what that means is we take the needs of an employer, we take the skills of the job seekers, and we're able to creatively create a position that now meets the needs of both. So in this example, it was a local cleaning company that was looking for cleaners, but one of the barriers that individuals mainly had was transportation. And working for this company, you had to be able to get from one site A to site B to site C throughout your day. And so if transportation was a barrier, they had a hard time recruiting. We had an individual who was looking for a driving position with some cleaning experience. So what we ended up doing is we created a role that now this employer hired this individual and became sort of the service to bring their cleaners from site A to site B to site C throughout the day. And the last site, they were able to also provide the cleaning service. And so that was a creative way for us to sort of look at what is available. What is the employer looking for? What is the job seeker bringing? And how can we match that best?
Oh, such a great approach. Anybody else have any other stories to share?
I'll share another story we had during our Tourism SkillsNet North program. Actually, we had, again, an issue with accommodation for staff. This particular business didn't have enough local staff to fill the roles. And so they were having to hire staff to come in and needed a place for them to stay. So there wasn't lodging on site for them. So they actually built them some small cabins, tiny cabins in which that they could stay. The staff were comfortable with it. Their parents were comfortable with it. And all of the needs all the way around were met in that instance. And I know of another employer who actually will go so far as to attend cottage shows or job fairs or stuff that's going on at university and college campuses in Toronto to recruit staff from far away, because again, they're in a locale where they're not going to be able to recruit only from the local youth or local population. And so they have to go out from there to recruit. And they do so willingly and really, they tell the story of what life will be like working the season at this business and making it so that it's very attractive to those who would just naturally be good within that environment. And so to your point, Lori, setting it up so that everyone knows in advance that they're there for the season as well. And so looking at that as a creative solution, really, for them to recruit additional staff that are just not feasible within the local population that they sit within.
Mm-hmm. Lori, anything to add?
Yeah, so I think a really cool story that I heard was an operator who had hired a number of young folks to come and work at the lodge, and they did a get to know you kind of session with them, and they learned about their individual talents. And one of them had a musical talent, and of course they realized that when he came with a guitar. So anyway, you could just tell how passionate he was about playing the guitar. So they offered him the opportunity to play guitar at dinner time as people were arriving, coming off the lake, and they were coming into the lodge for dinner, and he could play there, or there was different times. They would have an outdoor fish fry one day, and he would be the musical accompaniment for that. And the other two had other talents as well. One loved to do photography and had a beautiful camera, and they were so excited about being in the wilderness. They had only done like city stuff. They hadn't done any wildlife or anything. So they incorporated that as well, and they allowed them to share their pictures if they wanted on their social media. And those students came back the year after. Like, they were just so, they felt like they were using the things they loved to do in their work. Like, they would still do all the cabin cleaning and do all of their stuff, but they would have the opportunity to use their skills and these talents. So, I mean, I thought that was a really cool story. And it's kind of, yeah, like, take a minute and learn about the folks that you've hired. And what better way to make them want to stay and do their job if they can still be themselves and they can excel in those areas too. So that was one thing. The other one was, we know that people want affirmation in different ways. And we've heard of employee of the week, employee of the month, those kinds of things. But incorporating something different, where it could be that if the employee wants it, they would do like a employee profile on the social media. Depending on their age, they would probably be interested in that. Some people might not be. So, of course, you got to be careful with that sort of thing. But just doing things like that, that really help them understand that you really appreciate them in what they're doing and what you bring to the lodge. And there was a staff day at the lodge. So, you know, sometimes in the month of August, things kind of quiet down a little bit. And you could have a staff day at the lodge where the staff all get to go fishing or hiking or whatever they want to do. And it allows people to just have some downtime and actually do what the guests are there to do.
Right.
And it gives them another appreciation of why their jobs are so important. So it kind of a twofold, they get a bit of a break. And the operator really gets to entrench in them why they're there and why they're so needed.
Yeah, that's so important from both the retention and keeping your employees happy point of view.
Yeah.
But also it's training. It's showing them what the guests are getting as well. Yeah. What I'm kind of hearing across the board here is that, you know, when labor is short, it becomes a workers' market. And so I'd love to send this back to Chantel and flip this back to their perspective, what you're hearing in working with workers. What are they looking for in an employer today?
I love the stories that are being shared so far. I think for me, what it boils down to is that culture piece, that alignment, the values alignment. One of the things we do spend a lot of time with job seekers is get to know yourself, understand what you're looking for, and go find the most appropriate employer who can meet and fulfill that need for you while you're able to contribute to their business. And we've heard these very innovative, creative stories, and that is exactly what was happening. Culture was being formed. They believe in the mission and the vision, and they're prepared to contribute, and they will work really hard if there's that alignment. And so as an employer, it's really important for you to create that safe space for folks. I would also say that communication is extremely important in your posting, in your interviews, in your onboarding processes. And ongoing is to make sure that you're clearly communicating with folks and making sure they understand what is expected, what is the role, you know, what does the job look like? What does that internal communication at the business look like? I think that's something that people are needing, and that is extremely important and creates this environment that people want to work within.
Yeah, Karen, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to, what came to mind in our discussion here is, during our Tourism SkillsNet North program, we offered a number of different online training courses. And there were times for service excellence, let's say, or customer service, where an employer would sign their staff up to take the online course, and the employer would actually take it with them. Mm. And so everyone would gather around one computer with their manager or the tourism business owner. I think what ensued from that is an understanding of expectations. There was a lot of communication and discussion of what would work and what doesn't, and what that employer was expecting of their staff. But I think it really boiled down to an open discussion. And all told, I think it really benefited both employer and employee, and it formed an additional bond for everybody going out of that training. So I think, to Lori's point right at the start, that there's an awareness that training is important. I think that's really true in one of the things that we saw of real benefit coming out of COVID for the businesses. So just adding that.
That's great. Laura, you've already sort of framed some of this in terms of advice for tourism business operators and how they can use this information to be more attractive to workers. But I'm wondering if that conversation sparked any more advice that might be helpful to them.
I think there definitely is. It all depends on the positions and the people that you're hiring, that you're interviewing. You really need to get to know them, because I think it's more than just your job description. If you want to retain them, if you want to have really good people that are going to work for you, you really need to get to know what they like. Another example I can give is, there was a young lady who wanted to work out in the wilderness, and she really wanted to do something about the environment. The environment was her passion. And she was a little leery about working in a fishing lodge because they were consuming fish. But the operator was able to go through and explain to her they only permitted their guests to have conservation licenses, not sport fishing licenses. So talked about all of the things that they do to protect the environment in their job and how they teach people about why conservation fishing makes a lot of sense. Or many of our lodges have no fish out, which means that they can catch and eat fish while they're there, but they can't take any home. And these are rules over and above what government has. So they were able to actually show this young lady that it's okay to fish. We can put in practices that make this more sustainable. And then she says, well, that's not on your website. You should be talking about that. So they created a job for that. And guess who was doing the job for the summer? Talking about going through each step of what they do, like even the green products that they used for cleaning their cabins, some of the brush work that they did, some of the work at the shoreline on keeping out invasive species of plants, all of those things. And I'm often, and Karen knows this, I'm often telling my industry, you've got to talk about what you do. Like, you got to tell more people. It's not just about bringing people in to go fishing. It's about all of the stuff that you do. If you've had a business for 40 years, how have you kept that alive for 40 years? And bring people along for the ride. So I think there's things that operators can do to connect with the youth. Anything that you do that supports things that youth want to support, make sure you're talking about those things and clearly identify those. So that would be some advice in addition to the other stuff that I said. But definitely making sure that your job descriptions really tell the story. It's not just here's the duties. We want somebody to do these duties. You got to tell a little bit more about who you are, what your vision of your business is.
I love that, Lori. And I think from an industry training standpoint, we talk about or we host workshops at Tourism Excellence North on experiential travel training. And Lori, what you just described was experiential travel. People are hungry for that kind of knowledge now. They want to dive in behind the scenes of what's going on at the lodge. They want to learn more while they're on holiday. And so I think that by being open with your staff, even in that recruitment stage, you can very easily create experiential travel for your guests without having to do a whole lot, like learning that someone likes to play guitar. That's all part of what you can offer as an additive for your business. And it's very unique, becomes a very unique thing to your business without really having to do a whole lot more or go to a greater expense.
I think this is a great transition to my next question, which I'm going to start with a bit of a preamble. Karen, some of our listeners may or may not realize that you are the host of Let's Talk Northern Ontario Tourism, which is the official podcast of Tourism Excellence North. And yes, there are lots of really great conversations over there, including some about experiential tourism and about how young workers are very environmentally conscious. So, you know, I feel like you might be in an interesting position to be able to talk about trends. In addition to what we've just talked about, is there anything else that is either on the cutting edge or maybe something that some tourism operators thought it's a fad, it'll go away, but like it's here to stay? Anything they should be really thinking of and acting on as we move forward?
I think something that is on now and will continue as a future trend is we all wish to travel in quality of standard, right? Our traveler nowadays expects a standard of quality that they've become accustomed to and wish to see in the properties and experiences and tourism product that they choose to spend their money at. So that's one piece. I think one of the other trends that we clearly saw during the pandemic and through our Tourism Skills Net North program was wage subsidies for employees. The labor market is still such that employers are wanting to recruit good quality staff, and providing that training is crucial. And you can look, or employers can look to places like Tourism Excellence North for assistance in getting that training. And I know, Chantel, you have a lot of good resources through your organization as well. Tourism Excellence North is more on the industry training side for the employers, for the managers, etc. There are a good number of self-assessments in the tools that we offer. You can complete those online. And that's everything from, you know, a visitor appeal assessment index, really gauging where your strengths and weaknesses are in welcoming guests to your business, and right up to product development with regard to cycling, with regard to environmental practices, festivals and events. We also offer group workshops in experiential travel training and international product development. And there are a number of online resources within the Tourism Excellence North website, including business essentials for tourism operators. So everything from accounting 101 to sole proprietorship versus incorporation, and media and social media training. So there's a number of different resources there and available. And I think it's really important to try and keep up your own professional development as you're bringing on new staff as well, and making sure that people have a good foundation of training, skills, and knowledge behind them.
Yeah, Tourism Excellence North and Destination Northern Ontario are both an absolute wealth of resources and knowledge, and the staff have so much to contribute as well. But so do NOTO and Spark Employment. So I want to give all of you an opportunity to talk about your resources. Maybe we'll go over to you, Chantel. Why should an operator reach out to Spark Employment?
Absolutely. Well, what we like to do is build that relationship. We really want to understand the needs that an employer has and equip the job seekers with exactly that, right? So if they identify for us certain trainings that, you know, was previously identified, we'll make sure we equip the potential candidates with those things. We will also follow a job seeker. So if there's an opportunity to hire someone who has been working with Spark and is looking for work and is prepared to sort of obtain that training and do the things that an employer is looking for, we will support that individual throughout their placement with the employer. So that continual ongoing support and training will be available and accessible through us. And so that's something that I think employers can take advantage of. But before we even get to hiring someone, is we can assist with that posting. We can assist with the recruitment. We can assist with sort of defining that. When we talked about understand your company and your business, we will assist you going through that. And what would a potential job seeker be looking for? And let's make sure that's clearly articulated. And so that's something that I think that is beneficial to local employers who are looking to hire. We'll also host job fairs as a collective with multiple employers, but sometimes we'll do it with one employer at a time, especially if they're looking to hire for multiple positions at once. We like to call them open hires. We just very clearly put out this event and we'll invite the employer to our site, or we'll go on to the employer site and we'll make sure that there's a series of candidates that present themselves and that are potentially available to work for this employer, and they'll have an opportunity to meet with them one-on-one, and then they'll get this event planned and organized through us. So that's definitely a benefit. There's also ongoing training that we can offer through our Get Set program. If there's an individual that someone hires that later identifies there's perhaps a barrier to truly understanding or reading the policies and procedures and really just needs that additional sort of hands-on support, we can offer that. We can get someone, some of our staff to go to your site, understand your business and help in training individuals if that's a need that employers have. So there is definitely a lot that we can offer.
Wow. Yeah, lots there. And then what about NOTO, Lori?
So we do a little bit of what Chantel's talking about, only from the perspective of helping people develop their job descriptions and their postings and how to get to be more fulsome in their job postings. We also have our job board. So because of the Tourism Skills Net North program, our Indeed job board has become very popular. But as I said earlier, Indeed has changed its fee structure, so we aren't able to do it as much. But we do have our own job board on the NOTO.ca website that people can go there. And it's for both, right? So we get postings that people are looking for work as well as postings that people have a job. And some of this stuff that we do more broadly is tourism career awareness. I myself am a career coach. So whenever there's something local going on in our high schools, I usually go and talk about tourism as a career. And some of the stuff that you find out during that process, like these are high school students. So it's really kind of cool. You get to say to them, what is your hobby? What do you like to do the most these days? And it's not very often that I can't turn that into a potential job in the tourism sector. So it helps me understand sort of the next up and coming possible employee. So a lot of tourism awareness, just trying to get out there and let people know that there are careers in tourism. They can be very long time careers, or they can be careers where a student is in high school, is trying to save up money to go to college, and they need somewhere where they can make good money, get some tips, develop their customer service training, develop some very base skills. And at the end of the year, at the end of the season, they've got a bank account full of money. So I think letting people know that it can be a stepping stone, but it can also be a long-term career. So those are things that we do. We also have a newsletter that goes out to the lodges and camps across the north. And in that, we usually make sure that we're posting any reminders of funding programs to support employers, or whether there's the 10 training, we'll talk to them about that. We'll make sure that anything that we hear to support employers, we will put in the newsletter to help them from that perspective.
It made me think. So just recently, I participated in Ontario Career Lab. It's a nonprofit organization that actually goes across Ontario into high schools, and they offer career coaching sessions. So what they do is they invite local professionals from the community to come speak to high school students, and they share sort of their industry, how they, their career journey, and how they landed the job that they have. And I've participated in a couple, and a few were actually from the tourism industry. And so it's another great way for us to sort of introduce to students that these opportunities do exist. Often it's because we don't know that they're there, that we don't seek them out. So this was a fun way of us to introduce that conversation. I think that's important for us to just put ourselves out there and have these conversations with individuals and letting them know that these opportunities do exist. And here's how we particularly got there. And here's how they could potentially sort of create that path towards a career in tourism.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're coming to the end shortly, but I have one more question for each of you. Might be a little bit of a tough one. If a tourism operator is listening today and you could tell them one thing that they could do differently this year to improve their workforce situation, what would each of you recommend? Who wants to dive in first?
I will. So building on that tourism awareness piece, I mean, I think it's like Chantel said, they don't know what they don't know. So getting into our community, talking about tourism as a career, signing up for any local events where you may have the opportunity to have a booth or just meet new young people. I think that's important. Then you're not only speaking to potential employees, but you're speaking to possibly their parents who might want them to stay local for the summer or want to get them into the workforce in some way. So I think making those connections within your community in a different way would be really good. Just spreading that tourism career awareness information.
Great advice.
I think for me, it's what I would share with every and any employer is create that culture, right? Create the culture that individuals want to work within. The employment experience that one has goes a long way. That word of mouth, it travels really far. And so if it is seasonal and if it is someone who's there perhaps for a period and has really enjoyed working for you or within your company and has enjoyed the atmosphere and that environment, they will be sharing that with others. And so perhaps other relatives or friends or family that they know will also want to work for your company. So I think it's building culture that attracts folks, attracts the job seekers.
Great. And Karen, do you have one piece of advice?
I'll just build on or add to what both Lori and Chantel have said. So the awareness piece is really critical for youth. Creating that culture while they're on site, that word of mouth, capturing that, you know, actually getting some testimonials, whether in video or in print or audio, whatever it may be, but being able to share that story afterward or even during the employment season that they're in, I think is pretty critical to giving people again, a picture into the story of what things might look like. How might they react, or how might they see themselves integrating into that business, into that culture, into the tourism industry as a whole? And I think you can see that if you're able to get, you know, some information or some testimonials from those staff that are on the ground, and that you've been able to invigorate with that culture that you've created.
All right. Thank you, all three of you. This has been a really interesting conversation with lots of points for further exploration, I think, by the listeners to this episode. So we're going to include links to all of your organization's websites and maybe some other resources in the show notes. So yeah, Karen, Chantel, and Lori, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks for having us.
If you're a tourism business operator looking for more resources on product development, human resources, marketing, or partnerships, visit destinationnorthernontario.ca or any of the links in the show notes. New episodes of this podcast are coming soon. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform to be notified when it drops. Destination Northern Ontario is produced by Storied Places Media and hosted by me, Michelle Sampson. Thanks for listening.